up, Chicago? Guess what? It is Friday, August the 12th, 2016, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And, man, I am excited about today. It's Praise Break Friday. Y'all ain't ready. It's Praise Break Friday. That means we about to get it in. Praise Break Friday. Y'all know what that means? That means it's that time of the week where we just let it all in and we just go all out and just do what we do. And we have a great conversation for today's topic. Today's topic, man, this is good. What God wants pastors and worship leaders to know. What God wants pastors and worship leaders to know. This should be a good conversation. I'm excited, y'all. It's Praise Break Friday. So we're going to go ahead and do what we do. And, you know, that's pretty much it. We're going to jump right on into it. So look here, y'all. Might as well kick it off the right way. You know what I'm saying? Let's might as well just go ahead and just give God a little quick praise right now. Come on, y'all. Let's go.
Now come on, put your hands in.
I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. This is good. This is good. Man, so look here, y'all. We have a great show. Let me give you the rundown on how you can contact the show. If you are listening, if you're already listening and you've already dialed in, you're listening via your mobile device, simply push 1 and you can be a part of the show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. That's area code 347-934-0546, and you can be a part of the show that way. If you're on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio, and we'd love to have you follow us there as well. Man, Twitter, if you want to tweet the show, real simple. You can tweet the show. That's real simple. The handle is at TTLO Radio. Again, that's at TTLO Radio, and you can find us right there as well. If you want to watch the show, the live simulcast of the show, that's right, we're live simulcasting. We're streaming right now. Two mediums, Ustream.tv. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. Go to the channel, Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. You will find us there. Facebook Live. It is now up and running. Boom, there it is. Facebook Live, up and running. You want to follow us there, Facebook Live. Simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO radio, and you will find me there as well. Hey, as usual, again, it's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King. I'm in the studio by myself. Been that way for a while, you know, but hey, it is what it is. But we have this great show for you today, man, and I'm just excited about it. If you want to email the show, be a part of the show, email us, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. You can find us right there. And last but not least, iTunes. If you want to subscribe to our podcast, simply go to your iTunes account, go to your podcast section, and then do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. Hit the subscribe button. Guess how much it costs, y'all? It's free. Don't cost you nothing to subscribe. So you can go straight there, grab that, and then add us to your listening podcast library, and we'll be right there waiting on you to join in with us. Man, look here, y'all. This is going to be a good, good conversation, and I am just really, really excited about it. So many things are going on, and we just have to be thankful. We just need to be thankful and give glory to God simply for who he is and the things that he continues to do. The things that he continues to do in our lives. I understand there may be a sound issue. We're going to try to figure out what that is. I don't know if it's this crazy weather. because, man, I ain't going to even tell y'all what it was like driving here. But I said, you know what? I ain't going to do this show from the crib. I'm coming to the studio. So we're going to figure out what the scratchiness is, and hopefully it will correct itself shortly. That's the hope. All right. Let me know if it changes, and we'll get that fixed shortly. Man, hey, look, y'all. I know I've been talking to y'all about these Olympics, right? And if you haven't been paying attention, let me stop this music. I even know it's still going. If you haven't been paying attention, so, of course, Simone Biles has pretty much stolen the show of these Olympics. Everybody, of course, is talking about Michael Phelps and the swimming and everything. But Simone Biles has pretty much dominated the majority of the news for these Olympics. Her performance last night was just absolutely, absolutely amazing. Her floor routine, if you didn't see her floor routine, man, y'all need to get in front of somebody's computer today, like immediately. Get yourself in front of somebody's computer today and watch this young lady.
Because anytime you sing about Jesus, how many of you know there's something about that name? There's something about that name that wants you to listen to it. Let's let the Lord bless us in this song.
Yeah. I'll tell you about the fun of working in radio that I've learned. Things just happen. Sometimes stuff just happens. It's out of our control. I'm not sure what happened. We got kicked and put back. It's crazy. It's crazy. I'm gonna blame today on the weather, because stuff is just happening. That's why something happens. Just came on because it was needed. Anyway, I was talking to you guys about the Olympics real quick. Man, Simone Biles. I mean, if you don't know the name, you need to learn the name, find out who she is, because she is, I mean, this little girl is just destroying everybody she goes against. Everybody. And it is just amazing. I mean, it's absolutely, it's just a pleasure to watch. It's just a pleasure to watch her do what she's doing, because it's never been done before to the scale that she's doing it. Yes, we've had some great competitors before in our country, and it's no slight to them. Even with the likes of Dominique Dawes, the most recent African American that we had, and then prior to that, Mary Lou Retton. Everybody remembers Mary Lou Retton. Well, for those of y'all, I'm up in age, y'all might not, but Mary Lou Retton, I think, was back in either 84 or 88. She was amazing. But it's just a pleasure, man, to watch her perform. And even when she doesn't, this is how you can tell when someone is dedicated to their craft, because they want it to be the best every time. And when there's the smallest little hiccup, you can see it, because it's like they knew they could do better. They knew, and it's this whole thing about when you know you can do better, you should. And I think she has that same mindset, that same mentality. So she, like, just goes all in every time, man. It's just a pleasure to watch. So, man, just big shout out to her for winning the all around individual gold medal last night, and to the young lady who won the silver. Just had her name on top of my head, but the young lady that won the silver medal last night. But what I want to talk about, and then I'm going to move on from these Olympics. Michael Phelps won. He won gold medal number 22 yesterday. Gold medal number 22. Just wrap your mind around that for a hot minute. Gold medal number 22 in his fifth Olympics. Okay, but that ain't what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is Simone Manuel. Now, we had, you know, Simone Biles, but I'm talking about Simone Manuel. Y'all don't even know who that is, right? Because nobody knew who she was. Seriously, unless you are one who follows swimming 24/7 or anything about this, none of us knew who Simone Manuel was. I mean, it was. I mean, I'm watching the Olympics last night, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, who is this? You know, and they were talking about how she had kind of fell off in the race. She had gotten like way behind. At one point, she was literally in like fourth place. She was literally fourth place, and all of a sudden, now mind you, this is a 100 meter. This is the 100 meter freestyle. So she is in fourth place. Now, 100 meters, the way the pool is set up, is 50 meters each way. So you go 50, kick, turn, come back, do 100. She was in fourth place at the turn. So they're talking about the two people who are vying for first. And then all of a sudden, right around meter number 35, the announcer goes, Simone Manuel is catching up. And then the next thing you know, she is now tied, and she hits the wall to win the gold medal with the Canadian lady. Now, you people might say, "Well, okay, people, well, that's not what's the big deal." First of all, let's address the elephant in the room, y'all. Simone Manuel is black. She is black, African American. She is black. Can we talk about it? You all know that there has not in an individual race. We don't have black folks in swimming. Can I take it a step further? And we egg on the stereotype. You know, it's not our sport. It's not a sport that we normally that we do well in. It's not a sport that we have many accomplishments in. It's a few and far between. But I have never seen. And the fact that she won, she really didn't even know. She swam her heart out, and then she turned around and looked back at the board to see where she placed, and she saw gold, and she screamed. And then watch this. When she got out, you saw her scream. Then she looked. Come on now, y'all, stay with me. She looked toward heaven. And she said, "Thank you, Jesus," right? Then she got out the pool. She hugged the lady next to her, and then she got to the reporter, and the reporter said, "Simone, for so many reasons, this is important, but tell us how you feel." And the first word out of her mouth, what she said, "Before I say anything, I got to give God some glory." It is Praise Break Friday, y'all. Come on. It is Praise Break Friday. I just thought I want to – come on. Y'all got to stay with me now. I mean, come on. Come on.
You know what? That's just what I figured. If you can't get happy about your testimony, nobody else can. But some of you been at death's door. Some of you God paid your bills. Some of you God healed your body.
I like what he said. If you can't get happy about your testimony, huh? Y'all better come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. That young lady gave God the glory in the water and out the water. And then she let it be known. She was like, "Hey, I know what this means." She says, "I know the significance of me winning this gold medal means." And she says, "Because for so many little black girls and little black boys, this is something that we don't even make an attempt to do. It's not something we do." My God. It's just an amazing thing. And so, you know, of course, I'm watching this, and there was just this whole thing, you know, about the whole, you know, African-Americans and swimming and everything else. And it boiled down. There's a bunch of articles, I guess, that were written about why African-Americans don't really do well in swimming. So let me give you this. So it says, Rio de Janeiro, Simone Manuel won the Olympic gold medal yesterday, freestyle event. Her jaw dropped as she looked up at the scoreboard and saw a tie for gold and an Olympic record time of 52.7. So not only did she tie to win, because she tied, but she still got the gold medal because she tied with the two people that got there first. They both get a gold medal. But they also broke the Olympic record. Think about that. They broke the Olympic record. A black woman. Now, I know, you know, my folks, yeah, well, you know what, she's American. I, you know, that's one. No, I understand. Yes, she is. Absolutely, she is. But the thing goes, you know, there is this whole lack of swimming is not something that a lot of African Americans do that well. And I'm trying to find the USA Today report about black swimming, and because they talked about how if the parents don't know how to swim, then it comes down to if they find out that the African American parents cannot swim, only 13%. This is what it says: only 13% of children of African Americans who cannot swim actually swim. 13%. And it's one of those things where you have to say, okay, what's really going on? But it's not something. And so I was watching, listening to the different athletes who spoke about swimming. And one of the guys said, he made this comment. He says, well, part of the problem is, he says, history, if you go back, you know, when they were desegregating things, when things were still segregated first, I should say, black people weren't allowed in the pool where the white folks was. So the places that black folks could swim weren't well kept. Okay. Even though they were in the neighborhoods, but if white folks was there, we weren't allowed to swim. Right? Okay. Follow me. Desegregation hits. Then all of a sudden, after desegregation hits, black people are now allowed to swim with white folks. Right? There were instances where black people would be in the pool and white folk, some person would run into a public pool and pour acid in the pool out of fear that something was going to happen to their folk because black people were in the pool. Now, I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. Literally, this is what happens. So then when desegregation continued, what happened was, as more of us came to the pool, white people went away, and then they stopped taking care of the pools. So the pools that were available to us fell apart, weren't managed until they eventually closed. So now there was no place for young black boys and young black girls to go swimming outside of their school. So when you take something away, an outlet like swimming, and it's pretty much taken away, and then it becomes taboo, then all of a sudden we're not doing it anymore. So now, unless you were a kid from, say, California, where all these beaches are, or Florida, where, you know, that was the norm for you to be going to the beach and swimming, then if you were an inner city kid, swimming is not something that was at the top of your list. It's just not something that was at the top of your list. So it's just amazing. And then going all the way from that to where we are today, where now a black woman has a share of the Olympic record and a gold medal in freestyle swimming in the Olympics. I mean, that in itself is just amazing. And so, man, big shout out, kudos to her. And seriously, there's a thing where it says 70, you know, kudos to her and her family. But 70%, and this is USA Today did a poll. 70% of black Americans cannot swim. And a lot of it is from fear. A lot of it's from fear of the water. It's all type of things: fear of water, lack of access to swimming pools. It's all types of stuff, man. But it's just crazy. And and I can tell you right now, I am not a swimmer. I can save my life if I need to, but I am not one who just wants to go to the pool. Even when I go I've been to some of the most beautiful beaches in the world, especially in the Caribbean. And I will go to the beach. I ain't finna get in the water. It's not a necessity. I don't see it as a necessity. See what I'm saying? And it's unfortunate that's the case. And a lot of us, we cannot, and it could be 10 of y'all on the, and I'd be curious right now. I'd be curious right now. If you are of African American descent and you're listening to this show, let's do this. I think I can actually do a poll. Can I do a poll on Ustream? I think I can. I should have did that before I got on here. But here is the deal. If you can swim, if you can swim, email the show. Just tell me you can swim, or hop on the chat, hop on Facebook Live, and just say, you know, I can swim. Just type in I can swim. Email the show, taking the limits off at Comcast.net, saying I can swim. As if you're an African American. Or tell me whether or not you can or can't, actually, would be the better deal. Because I'd be curious. I'd be curious to know. Because there are a lot of us who literally cannot swim. This article that was written January of last year, 70% of Black Americans cannot swim. And it's crazy. And the YMCA, apparently last year, the YMCA was actually doing an initiative to expand access to water safety for African Americans. Because we can't swim, and guess what? We drown a lot. We do drown a lot now. And it's just, you know, it's crazy. Watch this. It says, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, 10 people die from unintentional drowning every single day. And for Black children, the chances of drowning are significantly higher than those of whites and Hispanics at every age from 5 through 18. So you know, if 70% of us can't swim, that means more of us going to be drowning. And it's true. It's true. And you see these television shows where, and it's mostly the Hispanic, white Americans take their children to the pool when they are toddlers, newborns. I mean, you know, they less than a year old, and they are dropping them. They literally drop them in the pool. And those kids instantly go to the bottom, and it looks scary. It really does. It's like, what are you doing? And the kid just automatically swims back up on his or her back and just floats. Instinctively, they know what to do. It's hard to teach an adult how to swim because everything in our body, survival tells us, why am I going under the water? This don't make no sense. Survival, the thought of drowning prevents us from learning. That might be a sermon in that. It might be a sermon in that the thought of drowning prevents you from learning. Yee, my God. That just hit me. I might have to, what time was that? 12:24. I need to mark that time so I can go back and catch that again. Seriously, though, but the thought of drowning prevents you from learning how to swim because fear locks your body up. And it then all of a sudden tells you, I can't do it. So when automatically something hits your body and it tells you you can't do it, guess what? You say, you know what? I don't need to do it. And people ask you, well, didn't you learn how to swim in high school? No. And I'll tell you why I did not learn how to swim in high school. Because our pool was nasty. Huh? Yeah, right here at Austin High School, the pool. Is Cornelius Parks listening? He know the pool was nasty. y'all know I ain't playing. It was nasty. The pool was nasty. And then watch this. I'll take it a step further. When I was a child at Austin High School, my instinct was, okay, I had made up my mind. I am going to learn how to swim today. Well, my swim teacher, or my gym teacher, who, you know, you learned how to swim in gym class. My swim teacher or gym teacher, Miss Madura, I remember her name very well, Miss Madura, she did not get in the pool. Her instructions to us were, we got in the pool. We were at, the water was like waist high. And she says to us, okay, y'all, this is what she says. I remember this as though it were yesterday. She says, now, you get in the pool, Now, I'm going to count to three. You hold your, take a deep breath, and then put your head under the water. And then I will blow the whistle and tell you when to come up. So I said to myself, self, you can hold your breath for a pretty good amount of time. This sounds okay. All right. So then I took the deep breath and I went under the water and I was down there and, you know, and I'm kind of chilling. You know, I was afraid to open my eyes under the water because I didn't know exactly how that works. But anyway, so I'm just sitting there and about 35 seconds go by and I'm sitting there and then all of a sudden I'm like, you know, if she blows the whistle, how in the hell am I going to hear her blow the whistle under the water? So I came up out the water and she said, hey, why'd you come up? I said, well, I can't. I said, how am I going to hear the whistle under the water? And she said, you'll hear it. I said, how do I know that? Because, see, I'm the one under the water. You stand on the sideline with your gym shorts and stuff on. I'm in the water. So how am I going to hear the whistle? And then how do I know you paying attention to me over here in the pool and you going to look around and then you're going to blow the whistle and my dead behind is over here floating because I didn't hear the whistle. So guess what? I immediately got out the pool. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, immediately. I immediately. You know how the Bible say, and immediately their bands were loosed? Yeah, I immediately got up out the pool. I ain't playing. I got up out the pool with the quickness. I said, hold on, you ain't finna kill me. Not today. And then from there on, I had no desire to get back in the pool. And then I saw other people. I would go, you know, I think it was at Garfield Park. They used to have, at Garfield Park, they would have swimming. At Garfield Park, they would have swimming. And I would see them push kids in the water who could not swim. And that puts a fear in you right there for swimming. It's like, why would I want to go swim? I'm like, no. And then I'd already made up my mind. If you push me in the pool, I told anybody this. If you push me in the pool and God allows me to get out of the pool without drowning, I'm going to kill you. That was just the thought process in my mind. I did not want to drown. So that put the fear, that's the fear of God in you. So again, and I know my story is similar to other folk. So it makes you wonder, you know, and then to have that happen and all these other things, it just makes you, it's amazing to see, again, Simone Manuel come from, she goes, okay, you can swim? That's good. That's wonderful, Sharissa. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. She say, I field correspondent, sometimes host. She ain't been here since 84. But she say she can swim. That's wonderful because I can't swim a lick. I can save my life, though. I can swim enough to do that. Now, I ain't jumping in to say nobody. No, you shouldn't have been in the water. We're going to pray. We're going to go up in the prayer. I'm going to go to the prayer closet while you – I'm going to throw you life preservers. I'll show you something because I ain't going in there. Hey, I will share a story with y'all about, you know, I was in Jamaica one time and somebody went out on those little tricycle things, you know, the little tricycle things you can ride on the water, the little floating devices, and you can ride it out. And she went out there and I was on the beach and I was like, is the insurance papers dry yet? Because you done went out way far, and if you don't make it back, somebody got to be here to tell the story. So I said, you go on out there, and went all the way out there riding. You know, it's this big old tricycle. If you ever been to any of the, like, you know, I think they have them on like other beaches too. I don't know if they have them in Chicago, but they have them on other beaches. And you go out there, and these people are out there on these things. Well, she went out there too far and had to go get somebody to tow her back in. So, it's an amazing accomplishment for Simone Manuel that she won this gold medal last night. I am excited for her. I really am. I'm excited for her. So, it's good. It's good stuff, man. So, I had to share that good news with you guys. It's just good stuff. So, man, if you haven't seen it, please go take some time. Google the video. Go ahead and Google the video of her and her reaction and the interview afterwards and her reaction while receiving the gold medal. On the stand, and they're playing of her national anthem. It's just, it's amazing to watch. It's amazing to watch. And I want to say this too. Can I talk to my sisters for a minute? All of the black women listening right now, all of y'all. Can I talk to y'all for just give me a, entertain me for a few minutes. Because the reason I won't segue into this is because y'all can be pretty brutal when it comes to each other's hair. Now, four years ago, some of y'all lost y'all's stone mind talking about Gabby Douglas. Some of y'all lost y'all's stone mind talking about Gabby Douglas 4 years ago. Why that baby's hair ain't combed? Ooh, she look a mess. I was reading the tweets. It's just, you know, and this child winning gold medals. And y'all want to worry about how come she ain't got a perm or how come her hair look how it look and all that. So, okay, it happened. It was some backlash about it. It was news articles about it. People were talking about it. Okay, fine. Now, let's fast forward. You can't, are you saying, nope, not me, Angela, that you can't swim or what? I'm trying to catch up what you're saying. So then she says, fast forward to this year. So now we're 4 years removed. She's back in the Olympics and winning a gold medal. And the first things that pop up all over Twitter and Facebook, not that she has repeated as a gold medal winner. You mean to tell me, this is what one of the tweets said, all this time, y'all still ain't told Gabby to fix her hair. Really? Really? I mean, really? I ain't never been a part of that. I loved her then and now. She is to be commended and celebrated. Absolutely. Absolutely. But a bunch of, can I be real? A bunch of fools on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. A bunch of fools. First of all, the question, let me ask y'all something. You got your hair did, right? I would really like to know the people making the comments. I'm going to use some terrible English right now. Is your hair did? Yeah, that's some terrible English. But it's a real question. Because y'all talked about this little girl's hair, and then y'all talked to Ben Simone. What's wrong? Something's wrong with Simone's hair. Y'all talk about these, but they went in gold medals. What are you doing? Huh? I mean, let's keep it real. They have messed up because they doing backflips. Your hair messed up because you, okay. Ooh, y'all pray. Y'all help me. Help me. I'm just saying, what are you accomplishing that got your hair looking a mess? Y'all don't talk about folk. It's just amazing to me. It's amazing to me that was still a part of the conversation. We still talking about that. Right. Let me see, what's the comment? Oh, yeah, I think that it's awful. I think it is awful that black women can't show love and support for each other. They're nothing but insecure, hateful trolls. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Yolanda. Angela says, we're doggone good at what we do. To heck with hair. These girls are getting the gold. Exactly. They winning. They doing something. Some of y'all walking around with $300 worth of hair in y'all head and ain't got $300 in the bank. Let me pause right there. Somebody should have shouted right there. Some of y'all walking around with $300 worth of hair in your head, and you ain't got $300 in the bank. But then you got the nerve to send a tweet talking about somebody else's hair. And you better get somewhere and sit down. You got $300 worth of somebody else, worth of some, what's the hair, help me out, Tanya, what's the hair called? For the people, is it the Brazilian? What's the most expensive hair? Somebody help me. Y'all know what it is. Y'all know I mess up and say the wrong stuff because I be done said something about some yaki or something. Do y'all still wear yaki? Are y'all still wearing yaki hair? What's the hair? Lace front? Do y'all? I mean. Yes, it is. Okay. But I'm seriously, I'm asking about this hair. Seriously, what's the expensive hair? Which one is it called? Somebody help me out. What's the hair, y'all? Help me. What is the hair called? Cause I just want to know what Remy. Oh, that's the good stuff, Remy. That's the good one, the Remy. Okay, I thought it was one better than the Remy. I thought it was something Brazilian or something. I thought the Brazilian was the good. Is that the same thing, the Remy and the Brazilian? We've had this conversation on the show before for the wrong reasons. And look, oh, Lord, my mama done jumped in. She says Remy, too. Okay, all right. I'm just saying, y'all walking around with $300 worth of hair in y'all head and ain't got no money, but then you going to complain about Gabby Douglas' hair and the Simone Biles' hair, talking about they hair ain't combed. Let me see how many backflips you can do and sweating and balance beam and uneven bars and a three-minute flow routine where you sweating, and let me see what your $300 hair look like. Let me see what it look like. Help me, cause I'm just curious to know. I just really really want to know, cause it's a mess. I mean, literally there were, and I had the page up at one point, and I'm glad I took it down. I was just reading it because I couldn't believe how trivial we could still be. It was just bugging me how trivial we could still be when it came to these black women. It's unfortunate, man. It's crazy that's how we are. We still gonna talk bad about these girls' hair. It's crazy to me. So I just thought I would share that because I thought it was bogus. It's all outdoors. And then I want to see what y'all gonna say about Simone's hair. Because Simone was in the water with her hair. Now, I don't know if that's Simone's natural hair or not, because it don't really matter to me. What matters to me is that she walking around with a gold medal on her head. And guess what? Her hair can get done afterwards. Because, see, when these endorsements come in, because, see, some of y'all walk around $300 hair, y'all need some endorsements just to pay for your hair. Guess what? They ain't going to have to pay for theirs, because gold medal is going to pay for their hair for the rest of their life. Yeah, them Wheaties boxes that's about to come out. Guess what? That's gonna pay for to get their hair done and get their makeup done and all that. Y'all going and spending. Let me stop. Don't get me, cause y'all can be some brutal people. Y'all really can, man. And it's sad that they jumped all. I mean, that you just jumped all over these folks. All of y'all said Remy, huh? What to say? I don't really know, and I don't get down with the OP. Oh, other people have. Me either, Angela. You can tell I don't really wear other people's. I don't wear other people's hair either. It's really not my cup of tea. And I'm not slighting people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not slighting people who wear weaves because they just want to look bad and make them feel good. I ain't talking about y'all. But I'm talking about the ones who wear it and then you dog her out because she ain't got none in her hair. Or because her hair look how it looks. Guess what? It's pulled back in a ponytail, even though y'all know I can't stand a ponytail. But it's pulled back in a ponytail. It's pulled back in a ponytail because it needs to be because of what she's doing. See, I would go so far to say some of these folks that was making these comments on Facebook and Twitter about these folks' hair, you know, what y'all hair look like when y'all go to the gym? Oh, you don't go to the gym. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Y'all don't go to the gym. Right. Exactly. You don't go to nobody's gym. So that's why your hair look good all the time, because you don't do nothing. Get somewhere and sit down. Please get somewhere and have several seats. Several seats. Let's keep it moving, y'all. Hey, look, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to continue the conversation because I want to touch on one thing in the political realm real quick about y'all's boy, Donald Trump. I got one thing I got to touch on about him because... Yeah, he is, I'm going to touch on that, and then we're going to keep on going with the show. So look at y'all, I'm going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back, y'all. TT, hello.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546. Or you can reach us at 855 781-8804. We would like to hear from you.
That's my good old buddy, Devon. You know, that y'all, in case y'all didn't know that on that commercial, that's Devon's, we like to call it, that's TTLO After Dark voice. We'd like to hear from you. He was serious when he made that commercial. He was serious when he made the commercial. I miss my brother being in here. Man, I can't wait till that schedule get adjusted so you can come on back home. Come on back home, man. Come on. So I don't know if you guys have heard this or not in the news, if you're following this campaign. I know it's crazy, and I know it's like the worst candidates we've ever had in the history of American politics. I'm just going to say that again. The worst candidates we've had on both sides. On both sides in the history of American politics. Donald Trump has been on this campaign the last 3 or 4 days, and he's been making this comment that Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, is the founder of ISIS. Guess what he's been saying? That President Barack Obama is the founder of ISIS. And the Republican Party, his own party, has had to come out and go, well, he's just being sarcastic. He didn't really mean that. So then they come out and they try to say, Zilney says, well, let me clarify. I mean, he set up the atmosphere so that ISIS could exist. Therefore, I make him the founder of ISIS. Really? Really? So if that's the case, if that's the logic we're going to use, Mr. Donald J. Trump, can I help you for a second? Let me make sure my information is accurate. Please confirm this for me. But let me make sure my information is accurate. Because, I mean, if this is the language he's going to use, saying that because of him pulling the troops out of Iraq, that makes him the founder of ISIS. I'm just curious if that's the case, because those actions really, the ISIS was formed based off other things. But here is the deal: his companies, because he hasn't personally filed for bankruptcy. However, Donald Trump's companies have filed for bankruptcy four times. Now, in the course of 18 years, his companies have went into what we call reorganization six times. Reorganization is another word for bankruptcy, people. That's another word for bankruptcy. Now, should he now be called the founder, the one who established bankruptcy? Should Donald Trump now be the face of bankruptcy? I mean, if he want to call the president of the United States because he's saying that because he pulled the troops out of Iraq too soon, if he's saying that that's the reason that ISIS formed, then let me ask this question, and I think it's a fair question. When your companies have filed for bankruptcy four times and you've had to reorganize your companies six times, does that now make you the founder, the establisher, the organizer of all bankruptcy? Should the bankruptcy now be called, I need to do a Trump. I need to file for Trump. My money ain't right. I need to file a Trump. Then we're not going to call it bankruptcy. I'm going to go to court and say, look here, Your Honor, I need to file a Trump. I mean, for real. If you're going to say that the president is the founder of ISIS, then I'm going to ask this question. Donald Trump, should you be clarified or classified, rather, as the new name for bankruptcy? What does this say? They should escort him to several seats and doors and kick him in his rear end, kick him out. Trump lacks any political substance and says these outlandish things because he has nothing intelligent to say. I'm going to go back to my original statement. The more stupid stuff Trump says, the more people are going to vote for him. Even if they don't vote for Hillary, the more people will not vote for him. Thus, by default, we get the first female president of the United States. Not because she's necessarily the best candidate. Now, she is the best, you know, it's like somebody said to me before. I said, how do you pick between these two candidates? And someone said to me, I can't remember who it was. They said it's like choosing the dog with the least amount of fleas. At the end of the day, though, none of us want a dog with fleas, period. How come we just can't get a dog with no fleas? Huh? The Bible says when Jesus comes back, he's looking for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Can I get a candidate with this, that just ain't got no fleas? I mean, ain't nobody perfect. But, I mean, we do know that there are people, there are more highly qualified. Now, don't get me wrong. Hillary Clinton's resume states that she's more qualified than Donald Trump. Her resume states it. But, you know, resume and people sometimes don't tell the whole, resume don't tell the whole story. Now, see, if Hillary was applying for a job and all she had to do was go off her resume, then she has a pristine resume. She's a former first lady. She helped get the first children's health care stuff passed. Then she went on to be a senator in New York. And then she went on to be a secretary of state. So she's got her pedigree. Her pedigree is amazing. But then we've also seen the other side. But see, if she was applying for a job, if you were hiring for the way this works is, you know, we're checking references, and her references ain't all that great. But these are the only two candidates, and you got to hire somebody. And so you look at the two, and you go, well, if I check the references. You know, because see, Donald Trump, if you were hiring, let's take America out of the equation, and let's just say you were hiring these two people to come to your company. Donald Trump will get you sued and probably shut down because of the words that come out of his mouth. You will have all types of EEOC lawsuits, all types of things, if this was regular business. But again, if you fall into the line of the conspiracy, and I'm starting to believe it more and more every day, they are purposely giving us the worst possible Republican candidate, thus thrusting Hillary Clinton into the presidency. Just saying. Just y'all pay attention. It's not that difficult to follow. It's not that difficult to follow. So please pay attention. Please pay attention. Man, my goodness, my goodness. So look, y'all, we got this really good article, man, and I want to jump right into it. It is a really good article. What God wants pastors and worship leaders to know. What God wants pastors and worship leaders to know. This is good. This article is located. Matter of fact, let me do this real quick, as I've been doing lately. Let me make sure I give this to y'all. On Ustream, let me give y'all this on Ustream real quick. Those of you watching on Ustream, let me put that up there for you real quick. All right, let's see here. There we go, and we're good. All right, Ustream, I just gave y'all the article just in case you didn't have it. It's there for you. Facebook Live, let me give y'all the article in case you just tuned in on Facebook Live. We're about to have this discussion about this article. What God wants pastors and worship leaders to know. This is going to be good. This is good, 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 and mo good, as they say. So this is going to be good. Let me put this in here real quick. Boom, there it is. All right, so let's talk about this thing. Again, this is on worshipmatters.com, worshipmatters.com. The article is by Bob Coughlin, and he writes this. He says, Recently, he did a post on what pastors wish their worship leaders knew and what worship leaders wish their pastors knew. He says, today I'd like to finish by suggesting a few things I think God wants both groups to know. Again, this is him saying this is what he believes God wants both groups to know, the worship leaders and the pastors. He says, these points certainly aren't everything that can be said, but they might be helpful to keep in mind as we work together to serve our churches and bring glory to our Savior. So this is good. Let's jump into it. Number one. He says, the church does not belong to us. Oh, my God. Can we just stop right there? The church does not belong to us. He says rivalry and disunity contradicts what Jesus came to do. Make us one. That's what he came to do. He says, if we think the other leader is taking away our time, the primary problem is the way we view our role. He says, even though we're on the same team, Jesus has appointed pastors to teach and lead in the church. And at the end of the day, the worship leader should follow the pastor's lead. This is going to touch some toes here. Can I give you the scriptures that he used? The first scripture he used to back up his point was Matthew 16 and 18. Matthew 16:18, where it says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. That's what the Bible says. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me read the part that's important. Upon this rock I, meaning Jesus, I will build my, him still talking about himself, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Okay, so that, once again, whose church is it? I know your mama and your daddy and them marched in. I know all these folk did this stuff. I know great-great-granddaddy was the pastor, and now great-granddaddy the pastor, and now you think you next in line and all this stuff. I understand that. It ain't your church. It ain't your church. It ain't your church. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, this ain't your church. Ooh, this will get somebody put out. So he says, disunity contradicts what Jesus came to do. Then in John 17, he says this, I am no longer in the world, but they that are in the world, and I am coming to you. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. So that's Jesus talking to his Father, saying that I am no longer in the world, but they are, they meaning us. We are in the world. Stay with me now. And then he says that I am coming to you, Holy Father, and he's saying I'm asking you to keep them in your name, which you have given me, come on now, that they may be one even as we are one, meaning Jesus and God. Come on, stay with me now. The church is supposed to be unified. There should be no competition between the pastor and the worship leader. But if we're going to talk honestly, some of what's going on is this. There's two sides to everything, as they say. The one side is you may have a dynamic worship leader. Okay, a dynamic worship leader. And there are some, don't get me wrong. There are some amazing and dynamic worship leaders. And in a lot of cases, sometimes the charisma and the gifting of that dynamic worship leader outshines the preaching and teaching of the pastor. And sometimes the pastor, not knowing how, because watch this. If you are a pastor who, and I'm not talking about you having to hoop, because every preacher can't hoop, and I haven't really decided yet what side of the fence I come down on the hooping thing. Maybe it's because I don't do it, so maybe that's why I haven't decided. I would love to be able to do it, but that's just not my gifting. But what I've noticed is that when you have a dynamic worship leader, and that's the person who's the first person on the microphone 9 times out of 10. And that's who the congregation sees. He's the one who sets the culture for praise and worship in the church and everything. And then you get done with all that, and then you follow him up with a pastor who just does not have an oratorical gift. Ah, I'm sorry. Can I just talk about it? The pastor might not be equipped enough to follow up the current atmosphere in the room, because you have to be first. And we talked about being humble the other day on Wednesday. We talked about being humble, right? We talked about being humble, and you have to recognize that, yes, you worked all night on a sermon. Yes, this is what you thought you were going to teach your people. But now your worship leader, through the power of God and the Holy Ghost, has set your sanctuary on fire. And now the whole church is in an uproar because the Spirit of God is moving upon the place. You have to be humble and astute enough and in-tuned enough to the Holy Spirit to say, okay, Lord, I know I got this paper with these words on it, but right now your Spirit is doing something different and completely opposite of what I was set to preach. You need to be in-tuned enough to the Spirit of God to say, okay, God, I'm going to scrap this piece of paper this week, and I'm going to put it back in my repertoire, in my library. And God, just give me some words to add to what's already taking place. See, that's what should happen. Because as much as we like to believe, let's just talk about it. Any of y'all preachers listening, watching, as much as we like to believe, we pray to God, to ask God to give us guidance and to give us scripture and then to give us the words to say to our people. But sometimes, if we be honest, sometimes the Spirit of God will move in a place and you just have to say, well, you know what? God, I know you gave me this for the people, but that don't mean it was for today. It might be down the line, because right now you're moving in this place, and we got to be able to recognize when the Spirit of God is moving in a place. Come on, come on. Come on, you're right, Angela, you're right. God, I hear you. That's right. Because, see, this is your church. And you can come into your church and act how you want to act anytime. And if you choose to come in here and slay everybody and have us all laid down, face down, prostrate on the floor, then so be it. Come on. Come on. But see, if you don't have a lifestyle, thank you, if you don't have a lifestyle of worship, then when worship is taking place, you don't know how to respond to that. And the immediate response is to shut it down. All right, y'all, just, okay, uh-huh, all right. And you cannot be that. And then this is what that does. You don't realize it, but that action in itself causes disunity in the church. That in itself, when you shut down the Spirit of God in the church, you yourself are now causing disunity in the church. Come on, don't think. Come on now. Come on, come on. Preach, boy. I'm trying to tell you something. When you do this, because this is what happens, you have people who are looking for a breakthrough. And in the midst of their breakthrough, here you come.
That's just what I figured. If you can't get happy about your testimony, nobody else can. But some of you been at death's door. Some of you God paid your bills. Some of you God.
Here you go. In the midst of a breakthrough. Here you go. In the midst of your breakthrough, I'm sorry, y'all, we got kicked off for a minute, we back. In the midst of your breakthrough, all of a sudden, it's like y'all remember the show, The Gong Show? Y'all remember that, right? The Gong Show, and when the people, when there was a bad performer up, and one of the celebrity guests would get up and hit the gong. That's the equivalent of what the pastor would do. If the church is just the Spirit of God is moving in the place, here you come because you don't know how to act. And you don't know how to respond to what's happening, so you get up with the gong, and you just hit it. All right, that's it. That's now we finna go to the offering, or we finna go to. That's you. What is that? God wants you to recognize the church belongs to Jesus, not to us. And if we recognize that, oh, my God. Okay, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Number two. Again, we're talking about what God wants pastors and worship leaders to know. Number two. He says, our musical leadership and preaching are meant to flow from a life of worship. From a life of worship. That's what it says. And it's funny because you just, who's that just made that comment? It's called minister from a life that's filled with worship. Same thing you just said, Angel. Number two, it says our musical leadership and preaching are meant to flow from a life of worship. Why? Where does he come up with that crazy idea? Let me tell you, Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That's the ESV version. I'm reading the English Standard Version. He says, and then he goes to, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Can I read what he says? He says, no amount of public fruit. Come on now. No amount of public fruit can make up for the lack of private devotion or the ongoing practice of sin. He says, if your devotional or family life is consistently suffering because of the time you give to public ministry, it's time to take a break and get help. He says, God values our lives more than our gifts. He can use us, but watch this now. This gonna touch up on some saints' toes. He can use us, but he does not need us. Oh my. God can use us, but he does not need us. Come on, somebody. Y'all got to recognize that this is not about you. This is not about you. Never has been. Never has been. God does not operate in a way, he does not operate in a way that makes you think you are more important than the service itself. I love this first one. He says, no amount of public fruit can make up for the lack of private devotion. So watch this. If the only time you worship is on Sunday, if the only time you open up your Bible is on Sunday, if the only time you pray is during the corporate prayer on Sunday, the only time you read a scripture is when they tell you to read the responsive reading. If the only time you read this stuff is on Sunday, then I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you just faking the funk, You come on. Come on now. It says what you say. Seriously, our musical leadership and our preaching is meant to flow from a life of worship. Can I talk to the preachers? Because I was just picking on the singers. But can I talk to us preachers? Can I talk to my brothers and sisters who share the pulpit? If the only time you read your Bible is the weeks leading up to you to preach, y'all ain't got to clap. I clap for mine. If the only time you pick up your Bible is the weeks leading up to the time when you know it's time for you to preach, then you ain't living a lifestyle of worship. You just somebody who likes to preach. And don't get me wrong, some of y'all can preach real, real good. But if the only time you do that, and then you wonder how he or she preaches the way he preaches, I know. You I said, watch it, you on somebody's pew. You're right. I'm just saying, if the only time you get the scripture together, the only time you commune with God is if you know you got to preach in, let's say, September. So you got to preach in September, and this is August. So now you got to preach first Sunday in September. Now in August, you're going to go to the Lord on you coming to God knee bowed and body bent, saying, oh, Lord, help me give your people a word. And look, and this is why God is God and man ain't God. Because, see, Dana would say, hey, Negro, I ain't heard from you since the last time you preached. What you calling me for? Huh? Y'all help me. Help me. Y'all know my mind is help me. Help. Oh, Jesus, help me. I'm just trying. I'm just trying to tell somebody, you cannot use God when it's convenient for you. Oh, I have to sing next week, so I need to. I have to sing next week. I got to sing a solo. Now you want to pray, God, God, fix my voice. Lord, Lord, help me remember the words to the song. God want to turn around and say to you, how about you just remember me, period, huh? Come on, y'all. We can do better than this. We can do better. Then the writer, I like that the writer also uses Hebrews 13 and 15. Watch this. Hebrews 13, 15. He says, through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. Uh-oh. Watch this. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Can I make that real plain? Huh? Can I make that more plainer than it is? He just said, let us continually offer up sacrifices of praise to God. What that means is you can't praise the Lord when the praise team stand up at 11 and then the praise team sit down at 11:30 and then the preacher preach and you throw up two or three amens and hallelujah. And then the next time you praise God is the following Sunday at 11 o'clock. Guess what? Hey, if I'm stepping on your toe, you need to, hey, get a bigger shoe. I don't know what to tell you. Look here. It don't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Sunday can't be the only day you give him some praise. Because let me ask you this. Let me play the other side of the fence. What if he was the kind of God, huh? What if he was the kind of God that say, I'll bless you when you praise me? I'll protect you when you praise me, huh? I'll take care of your family when you praise me. I'll keep my arms of protection around you when you praise me. What if he was that kind of God, huh? What if he was that kind of God that all of a sudden now you say, okay, God, I praise you from 11 to 11:30, and then I praise you when the preacher preaching, and then I ain't going to praise you again. So that means the minute you leave church, he removes, my God, the angels from around you. Come on, somebody. The minute you leave church, before you get home, he done removed the hedge of protection from around your household. He done removed the hedge of protection that keeps you at that job that the resume say you ain't really qualified to keep. Come on. Hey, my God. What happens if he says, since you only praise me on Sunday, I'm only going to protect you on Sunday. Hey, what happens when he keeps that bill collector, that thing that got released from your credit? Come on, somebody. When that thing he let get released off your credit. Well, you know what? Since you only praise me on Sunday, I'm only going to protect you on Sunday. I'm only going to bless you on Sunday. Oh, my God. I'm talking to somebody right now. We have to get out of this mindset. The Bible says, let us continually offer up praise. David said, I will bless the Lord. And watch. What did he say? And his praises shall do what? What shall they do? Continually be in my mouth. It's got to be a consistent thing. Hey, somebody touch your neighbor and say consistent. Come on. Come on. Stay in. Come on now. Come on. It's got to be a consistent thing. And not only consistent, you, because of how we are and because of our sinful nature, let me, come on now, come on, come on, come on, I'm gonna pick on myself. Because of who we are, huh? Not only do we have to be consistent, but in order to keep this flesh of ours down, we have to be persistent with it as well. You got to be persistent with your prayer. Because, see, if you're persistent, meaning you're dogmatic about it, meaning, you know what, through hell or hot water, I don't care what I got going on today, at some time during the course of the day, I'm going to give my Father some praise. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Come on, come on. It is not about just Sunday. It ain't never been about just Sunday. But if you're living that type of a lifestyle where, whoo, I'm a praise on Sunday, but Sunday afternoon I raise all hell. Huh? Sunday afternoon I raise all hell. I gave God glory, but I promise you I cuss you out in the parking lot. Huh? Because watch this. The more you praise God, the less time you have for mess. Uh-oh. I believe the reason so many folk are so messy. I guarantee you some of the messiest folks, they ain't praisers. They ain't praisers. You can't be. Because, see, you can't. They can't. They both can't dwell in the same temple. You ain't no praiser. Messy folks. Well, who do I make my offering check out to? Make it out to Taking Limits Off Radio. We take it. Well, that's right. We do take honorariums. We take whatever you're saying. Bless you. I'm just saying. Who? If you constantly got we just talked about the fruit of your lips, right? The fruit of your lips. See, the fruit, that means the good stuff. Now, if you're giving God the fruit of your lips, then that means I can't turn around and give you the mess of my mouth. Ah, come on, somebody. If I'm giving God the fruit of my lips, then I ain't turning around and putting the mess of my mouth on you. I need me an organ. Can we get an organ? I know we ain't got no budget for this here show, but can we get an organist? I need an organist on Praise Break Friday. Can I get the keyboard up here and somebody that can just put me in the key of D? I'm just trying to tell somebody right now. Because there is no way you can operate in ministry and Sunday. Hey, I'll take a step further. Sunday and Wednesday. Because, you know, some of y'all go to Bible study. Wednesday, you open your Bible. So Sunday and Wednesday, what you doing about Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? So God said, okay, since you honor me on Sunday and Wednesday, I got you on Sunday and Wednesday. My God, what kind of mess would our lives be then? Huh? I'd go so far as to say some of us probably wouldn't be here. Again, we're talking about this wonderful article, What God Wants Pastors and Worship Leaders to Know. Number three. Uh-oh. Here we go. We're talking about this unity thing. Number three. We're on the same team and have the same goals. That is to see God's glory in Christ magnified in people's hearts and lives. The writer says this. Pastors use words while worship leaders use words and music. In general, musicians need to remember to aim for the mind while preachers need to remember to aim for the heart. Uh-oh. Then he says, the goal of our efforts should be to hear people say, not what a great worship or what a great sermon, but what a great Savior. Ah. Don't miss that. That's important. The goal of the efforts of the worship service, it should not be for people to say, what a great worship, what a great sermon, but at the end, they should be saying, what a great Savior. Can I talk about me for a second? Anytime anybody's ever came to me after I preached on a Sunday and said, oh, man, you know you preached a sermon, I said, glory to God. Glory to God. It wasn't, because it ain't never about me. Because the same word he gave me, he could have got, hey, you know what they said, he'll make a donkey talk. He could have put a donkey in the pool pit and had him say exactly what I said in the same way. So that lets me know how minuscule I am on the grand scale of things. Come on now. Because if we don't worship him, the rocks will cry out. That's what he said. That's what he said. That's what he said. Can we use the scripture? 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2, 4 and 6. Get your Bibles. Y'all need to have your Bible out when you're on. When you watch and listen to this show, you need to have your Bible in your hand because we're going to go there. 2 Corinthians 2, 4 and 6. He says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let light shine out of darkness. We want to know why our communities are broke up the way they are, why they seem so bleak, why they seem so gray, why they seem so dark. Can I give an answer? Because the church ain't letting its light so shine. Huh? It says light shines out of darkness. I stand, sit here and believe that if we, the church, were to get our act together and shine the light that we've been given, come on, church, if we were to shine the light that we have been given, our communities would then come out of the darkness. Because when you shine light in a dark place, darkness has to flee. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. If you don't believe me, go in that room in your house right now or in your office or wherever you are. Turn, if the light is on, turn it off. When you turn it off, what's winning? Darkness. When the light turns on, what happens? Darkness has to flee. So if we as the church would come together and shine our lights in the community and shine light on the dark areas, come on somebody, if we would shine light on the dark areas, there we go. There we go. My. This is good, y'all. I'm hoping this is helping somebody because it's helping me. I'm hoping it's helping somebody, but God knows it's helping me. It's blessing me. This is good. This is good. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. And again, man, look, y'all send your comments, your emails, making sure I ain't missed nothing. Nope, have not. Send your comments and your emails. We good. Let me check my Ustream people over here. Okay, y'all good. Everybody's good. Wonderful. I mean, it's always been about a lifestyle. It's always been about a lifestyle because we tend to, and watch this. The beginning of the article said this, and I need to make sure I go back and what the beginning of the article said when it talks about the pastors. It says the worship leaders should follow the pastor's lead. The pastors of the church should be the worship leaders. The pastors of the church should be the head worshiper. The church will worship as the pastor worships. So, see, that's, again, where the division comes in. Because if you have this dynamic worship leader and this dry preacher, this dry pastor, now you got a split room. Now you got folks who want to worship and you got folks who want to sit. And now it makes it look like you're trying to overshadow when, in fact, by you sitting there doing nothing, you are really the one causing the disunity. I'm just trying to help y'all. I'm helping myself. Matter of fact, I'm just helping myself. I ain't trying. I'm helping myself. Ooh, pray for me. My. It's just so important that we catch this. It's so important that we catch this because we cannot, we can't advance the kingdom of God with this split, with this disunity that we have. And even on things of worship, we're not unified. How crazy is that? Even on things of worship, we aren't unified. And that's crazy. That's crazy. Let's keep going, y'all. Let's keep going. Number four. The writer says, no leader will be effective apart from the Holy Spirit working through God's word and the gospel. Oh my goodness. Read it again. No leader will be effective apart from the Holy Spirit working through God's word and the gospel. He says this: neither our musical chops or our communication skills ultimately determine our effectiveness. God has established the means he works through, and only he can bring the fruit. We can't add something to scripture or the gospel and make them better than they already are. Nothing you can do with that. What we win people with is what we need or what we tend to. Okay, let me read that again. What we win people with is what we tend to with them to. Is what we tend to with them to. Rather than seeking primarily to make the music and preaching more creative, unusual, or innovative, we want to be faithful to make God's word and the gospel clear and relevant. Can we break that down? You have some amazing pastors with amazing oratorical gifts. You have amazing singers with an amazing gift of song and writing music, an amazing gift of exhortation. But all of that means nothing if there is no Holy Spirit. None of that means anything if there is not the Spirit of God pushing you through that. The fruit does not show up until the Holy Spirit does. So all of your gifting, all of your wonderful enunciation and diction and gift of hyperbole and all of that means nothing if the Spirit of God in it. All of your great singing and annotation and all of that stuff and injunctions and conjunctions and all of those things, all that means nothing. It means nothing if there is no Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 and 5 says, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because of our gospel came to you not only in word but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake." You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. What does that mean? Test them with the word. See if their worship matches up to the word. Come on. See if their worship matches up to the word. Because you ought to be able to tell right away. You ought to be able to tell right away. Because there is just something, man, my. There is just something that we have to recognize. Man, that when you're worshiping God, when you're worshiping him and when you're doing it together, there's nothing like corporate worship. Don't get me wrong. I love praising God. I don't mind being by myself praising God. But when I'm in a room full of people, like-minded people who are on the same wavelength of saying, "I am here not for me, but for God," that's a different type of worship. Let me read the last part of this. The writer says, "I pray that whatever role you serve in, pastor or congregational worship leader, is that you'll find great joy in knowing that Jesus himself is building his church and that the gates of hell or challenging relationships with those let me read this again. That you'll find great joy in knowing that Jesus himself is building his church and the gates of hell or challenging relationships with those who serve alongside of you. They will not prevail against it." Man. This is amazing, 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 amazing. That God gives us this opportunity to gather together to worship him. That we come together to worship him. It's like being a part of a team. Because at the end of the day, when we get to heaven, guess what? We all a part of just one big old choir. We all a part of one big old praise team. Ain't no leader up there. We just going to be singing hallelujah. We going to be just praising God. We just going to be lifting up his name. Ain't no pastors there. Mm-mm. You know how this goes. What do they say? They're going to throw all their crowns down at his feet. Huh? So that means whatever title you have, when you get there, you're going to have to throw it down at his feet. I don't care how many degrees you get. I don't care how many notes you can hit. I don't care how many high C's you can hit and how deep your voice can go on a song. Because when you get there, all of that gifts are going to be laid at his feet. Because at the end of the day, every day, up, down, sunshine, all day, praise go all day, all day. The worship will not cease. It won't. My. This, man, this has blessed me. Y'all just don't know. My God, I'm glad we found this article. It's just one of those things where we going to have to get to a point, man, and establish ourselves and recognize that God is just too awesome and too good for us to only pick up our Bibles on Sunday and for the handful that show up at Bible study to pick it up on Wednesday. He's been too good to us for that. Too good to us for that. I know I got folks watching on Facebook, and some of y'all watching are not my friend, and that's okay. And that's probably why you can't comment, but I see y'all sharing it and everything. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. But, you know, I mean, you have to be willing to share in the worship experience and not compete. It's not a competition. The choir should never be competing against the praise team. The praise team should never be competing against the pastor. It's supposed to be a collaborative effort to bring people into the knowledge and the holiness of who Jesus Christ is. That's what it is. And if we get to that point, my God, what impact will we have at that point? How impactful will we then become in our communities at that point? But if we can't get it together in here, we'll never get it out there. Hey, y'all, look, man, it's been a great show. I have appreciated this, man. All the comments, those of you on YouTube, Facebook, watching, y'all watching on Facebook Live, y'all on Ustream, those of all of y'all listening on Blog Talk Radio, those of you who called in, listening on your phone, man, I'm done even trying to count. It's just amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I'm just excited that you guys continue to pay attention and watch the show and listen to the show. Look, y'all, we have a big show coming up on Monday. Can I share this with you? We have a big show coming up on Monday. On Monday, so far, if I can just give you the rundown, on Monday, if I can give it to you, because I will in a minute if I can find it. Amen. Where did it go? Okay. On Monday, we have this excellent show we have lined up for Monday. Monday, we will be doing a show, and the show is entitled 20 Lessons I've Learned Since Leaving the Church. 20 Lessons I've Learned Since Leaving the Church. Man, let me just give you the rundown of who's going to be here. We're going to have pastors Robert and Angela Johnson. Y'all know Angela. She's been on the show. She's the host of One Sister to Another. She's going to be in the house. Author Michael Carson, man, will be in the house, in the studio, will be on the line. Pastor McCall Harris will be in with us. Pastor Reggie Royal will be on the panel with us. Do not miss Monday's show, 12 noon. If you decide to watch, we may or may not be streaming, but we'll have all the information. We'll be out. We'll know for fact exactly what to do. If you follow the show, go to our Facebook page now, Taking the Limits Off. If you haven't done it yet, go to Taking the Limits Off and follow the page. Go there, like the page so you can be a part of the updates. You can email us email the show. That way we can add you to our email list, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, so you can get the information. Because, hey, guess what? The show might even be in a different location on Monday. I'm going to confirm that as soon as I get off the air today. But either way, you got to be prepared for what's going to happen on Monday. 20 lessons I've learned since leaving the church. And it's debatable, and it's a good conversation, and it's one that is well overdue and needs to be had. So whatever you're doing on Monday, make sure you are there at the top of the hour. Don't miss it. At the top of the hour, Do not miss it. It is going to be good. Man, look, I am so honored and blessed that you guys continue to listen to the show. It's been absolutely amazing today, man. It's been good. It has been fun. Let me just do this. Let me say this prayer. Father God, we thank you, God. First, God, we thank you for traveling grace. Because it was crazy driving here today, God. We thank you for traveling grace. God, we thank you for protecting everyone, God, through that quick storm that we had, God. And we pray that if it was in your will, everybody made it home or to their destination safely. God, we thank you for this broadcast. God, we thank you for this medium. God, we thank you for Blog Talk Radio. God, we thank you for Facebook Live. We thank you for Ustream. God, we thank you just for everything that you continue to do for us, God. God, we thank you for every listener that's listening, for every watcher that watched. God, for every commenter that commented, God, we just thank you for them. God, now we ask that you would continue to bless us, God. God, we ask that you would continue to bless us, God. We ask that you would continue to lift us up, God, so that we, because the Bible says, God, if we do the lifting, you would do the drawing, God. So we will continue to lift up your name so that we may be able to draw people, and you would draw people unto you. So, God, we're just grateful for who you are and everything that you continue to do, God. And we just simply bless your name for who you are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, y'all, look, I got to get out of here. I got to go handle some business and do some running around real quick. But once again, do not miss Monday. Don't miss Monday. Missional Monday. Y'all know it's Missional Monday, and we're on a mission to correct some stuff and to give some good information. Because a lot of folk, and look, watch this. If you got friends on Facebook that you know don't go to church, and they the first ones to talk about the church, they need to be listening on Monday. Send them this link. Send them the Facebook page information. The show information will be up later on tonight. I'll make sure it's up and posted. I'll share it to all of my pages. I'll share it to everybody that's involved with the show. It will be up. The link will be there, so you'll already have it, and you'll be ready to participate on Monday. So look here, y'all. Man, look. Y'all stay blessed. The Bible says, be ye also ready. So for those of you who live in the city of Chicago, y'all know it's a little crazy. If you got to be outside in all this craziness, do this for me. Keep your head on a swivel. And go ahead and give God some glory. Because
Tell somebody he is wonderful. Now put your preaching voice on. Say he is wonderful. There are a lot of things I could not do for myself, but he did them for me. Tell somebody he is wonderful.
I brought my own shout with me. I just thought about it. I dare you to think about how wonderful it is. Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor.
And you know what? That's just what I figured. If you can't get happy about your testimony, nobody else can. But some of you been at death's door. Some of you God paid your bills. Some of you God healed your body. Some of you, the Lord changed your mind. Some of you, God made a way out of no way. Shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, he's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. Now give God a shabak in this house. Hey! Woo! When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. As a matter of fact, I feel the Holy Ghost now because of your praise.